reading from Volume 1, Chapter 5, Text 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yudhishthira Yapi Mahapatishta. Loka Dravyo Krishtatatra Vedata Tatachara Sanda Vedadinacha Vimayatena Vana Eva Kirti. Krishna bestowed upon Yudhisthira the highest prestige, greater than that of anyone else in the upper and lower worlds. And by favors like allowing Bhima to kill Jarasandha, Krishna granted Bhima unequaled fame. Commentary. To enhance the reputation of King Yudhisthira, Krishna encouraged him to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Krishna helped the Pandavas dispose of Jarasandha, who was the major obstacle to this sacrifice. By giving Bhima the honor of defeating Jarasandha in one-to-one combat. During Jarasandha's repeated attacks on Mathura, Krishna himself had gotten many opportunities to kill him, but Krishna patiently waited for the suitable opportunity so that the credit would go to Bhima. Omigana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Naksuran Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasam Priyatnai Apayama Manabipsa Mandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Dupi Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Vidadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. This month should be a real nice month for the Sanghas because I'm in Vrindavan, I'm in one place, very regulated program again, and time for reading and writing. And it's weather here is, you know, winter is very beautiful. Even, by the way, Gita Krishna says, if winter is, I am the bundle of fog or whatever it is, or not fog yet. I think this part of the winter is quite nice. Of course, today I had a social obligation. A former student of mine was getting married, and he invited me to come. And practically everyone in the community here, because some of you may know Nandu. I remember when his father came into the Prasadam Hall here in Vrindavan over 30 years ago, was excited that his son was born at this Janmashtami. So he was born on Janmashtami in Vrindavan. And the wedding was at the Mongir. There's a part of Vrindavan that many of you haven't seen. I haven't seen it in 20 years. It's by the Ramakrishna Mission. You know where that is. But it's just a street of big, big, several acre estates, and so much different than when I saw it. But this particular temple was a temple of someone now named Sadhu Maharaj. But he's actually from a king's family, from the king of Mongir, which is Bihar. In fact, that's where Jarasandha here was, the demon Jarasandha is mentioned. That's where he was from. And I always remember about 25 years ago, he came to my office and introduced himself. He may even be my age, maybe even a little younger, I'm not sure. And we became friends, and he invited me to his temple, and I took prasadam. And I always remember the picture of his father that was hanging on the wall of the temple. His father, that was the father's temple. Although the father was a king, he was a great Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he used to get up early, and, you know, 6-7 hours, by 9 o'clock he would have his 64 rounds done. And at that time in India, it's still like that, but it's not. There's a Lok Sabha assembly, a people's assembly, a Raj Sabha, the king's assembly. That was like the parliament. So all the kings were part of the government. And I remember the picture of him standing in front of parliament with perfect Gaudiya Vaishnava tilak in a Nehru suit with his white bead bag to his chest. This was Sadhu Maharaj's father. That's where the wedding was. And behind him was a gold and silver Rolls Royce of base relief gold and silver. I always remember that picture of the king. And anyway, I went there today. Now, in terms of this story, I don't have to repeat so much what was said before, especially the people who call up. We have a very, very steady, regular group who's been studying this book with me of Narada's searching for the topmost devotee. Now, who is the topmost devotee? The topmost devotee, or the recipient of the topmost mercy, is the one who has the most love for Krishna. Because Krishna is a person, and people reciprocate in love. Yayata mam papadyante. As Krishna says, as one surrenders to me, I reward accordingly. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. The dami buddhya. The one who works me with faith and devotion, I give accordingly. So Krishna reciprocates. As Prabhupada so brilliantly pointed out when purporting the Bhagavad Gita to the commentary on the verse, Sama Sarveshu Bhute, Samaham Sarva Bhute Shu, I'm equal to everyone. The Madhva says, and I don't hate or like, you know, favor anyone. But the devotees are in me, and I am in them. I favor my devotees. And Prabhupada said, this is not a defect in Krishna that he reciprocates to his devotee, because Krishna does not have the defect of impersonality. When you are controlled by love, or love those who love you, and reciprocate, which means you want to serve or surrender to the desires to please your beloved, that's not a weakness. That's an opulence. See? And therefore, Prabhupada in three words so aptly summarizes the greatness of Krishna in three words, where he says, Krishna is responsive. So Krishna gives himself in relationship to those who intimately love him. That's the Paramaguyam. That's the topmost secret that Krishna tells Arjuna, that if you want devotion, you have to go to the devotee, because the devotee has Krishna. The Krishna is arrested, if you like that analogy, by the devotee's love. So Narada, to the Pandavas, is now, as he is making his case that they're the topmost devotees, as he has previously made that the case to Prahlad and the Brahmin and all the other devotees that he's met. So he's making the case now to the Pandavas. And one of the things that one of the arguments Narada is going to use, and it's a series of verses which we're going to study today, is that the Pandavas love Krishna so much that Krishna favors them and reciprocates with them in such a wonderful way. And now he's discussing how Krishna is reciprocating with his devotee, and we're going to go through those verses, and he's talking about the prestige that Krishna wants to glorify his devotees. And we see this all throughout the Bhagavatam, this loving mind of God, which means he's focused on his devotees. There's three aspects to pure love. The first aspect is, if you have pure love, you want to please your beloved. And that's really what your mind is occupied with. You want to please your devotee. You want to please whom you love. Two, you want to be with whom you love. And three, you have a hope that ultimately you will attain perfect love for your beloved. And when you want to be with your the person you love, you naturally, that's such a strong sentiment because you want to please them. And it helps to be with someone if you want to serve and please them. So it's not selfish, I want to be with God. It's not the selfish reason. But because it's such a core sentiment of love, and love is a very, very powerful emotion, that sometimes even the desire to be with Krishna even supersedes the desire of Krishna himself. Just like when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave Vrindavan. When he wanted to leave Vrindavan, he wanted to leave for Vrindavan. His devotees tried to stop him. It was just a symptom of their love. It was so powerful, the sentiment to serve Krishna, that they wanted to be with him, even though his desire was to go. So love is such a powerful emotion. So, but it's not only the devotees who love Krishna, but Krishna loves the devotees. And it's part of his enjoyment, too, because if Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and Krishna is enjoying love, to enjoy that love fully, he must himself love those who love him. When you enjoy love, whom do you enjoy love from the most? Those whom you love. So Krishna loves his devotees, and therefore he's always focused on trying to please his devotee. The devotee is focused on trying to please Krishna, and Krishna is focused on trying to please the devotee. This is spiritual consciousness. When you're focused on God's desire and the knows your relationship to God, and you're always thinking of how to please them. And it's a shift from the material selfish consciousness. That's why, especially in household life, but all ashrams, the deity is so important, because it forces you to put God first. Because so many things focus around eating, actually speaking, in our lives. Eating is such an important part, but when you have the deity, you can't eat unless Krishna has enjoyed it. You can't eat first. That's part of love. Part of love is naturally that you serve those whom you love first. It's just like if you have a guest in your house, right? And, you know, the guest comes down and you're already eating breakfast. Well, you don't really have that much love and regard for that guest, nor are you very cultured. In a cultured person, they don't eat until the guest eats. You have someone over for dinner, it's not that you're eating first. You see, we go sometimes visit very cultured families, especially Indian families, and they will not eat until the guest eats. It's a symptom of a cultured person. It's a symptom of love. So, so Krishna here, his mind is always the pleasure of the devotees. And he wants to glorify them. And he makes arrangements for that glorification, just like he did with Bhishma. He didn't himself, Krishna didn't himself personally answer the questions that Yudhisthira was posing towards him to relieve his distress from the shock of the aftermath of the Battle of Kurukshetra, when millions of people were killed to enthrone him. And he was in a typical material situation. A material situation is damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whichever way you turn is just suffering. When you try to do good, it's suffering. When you try to do bad, it's suffering. So when Yudhisthira doesn't fight, it's suffering. And then he had no choice but to fight, and it's suffering. And become so bewildered when you actually do your duty, when you do what's proper, and still things, still you suffer, because there's a general sense that suffering is a reaction to doing wrong. So when you do something with such effort and such concentration, and you put your heart to it, and you're still not satisfied, it's very, very shocking. Because satisfaction should come from dharma or duty. So when you're doing what's right, with sincerity, there should be a commensurate feeling of satisfaction in heart. And when there's not, it really causes you to think a lot deeper. Just like Vyasadeva, as a service for Guru, as a service for the world, he edited the Vedas, and he was perfect in his service, and still he was dissatisfied. still he was dissatisfied. So Yudhisthira, although he fought on the basis of Dharma, he was still dissatisfied, so he was so confused. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I suffering so much? What a lousy place to be. And he went to Krishna to relieve his doubts, and Krishna couldn't satisfy his doubts. He went to Vyasadeva to satisfy Vyasadeva. Couldn't satisfy that. Therefore, he was pointed to Bhishma. But why? Because in Krishna's mind, he wants his devotee glorified out of love. Therefore, Krishna couldn't answer his questions. He wanted Bhishma to answer. And here, same thing, Krishna could have killed Bhima. He had many opportunities, but he waited for the time where Bhima could do it, so he gives credit to his devotee. So now these verses are going to discuss the Pandavas. Bhagavan ayam arjunas chitat priyasakena katapasiddhatam naparana shatai parai aho mahimastutam Amusya-shakyate. Saintly Arjuna became renowned throughout the world for his intimate friendship with Krishna. I can never sing all the glories of Arjuna, even if I recite hundreds of Puranas. What a personality Arjuna was. His prowess, his character, and he's also one of the five Pandavas. So he's being glorified here to the extent that he's called Bhagavan. And sometimes it's generally reserved for God, but with great personalities, they can also be described as Bhagavan. And then there's a verse in the Vishnu Purana which is quoted. It says, a person who knows about the creation and destruction of the universe, the karmic comings and goings of embodied creatures, and the forces of enlightenment and illusion may be called Bhagavan. So Arjuna is an exceptional person. And as for Nakula and Sahadev, everyone has seen many times how fixed they are in love for Krishna, as shown, for example, by how these twins behaved in the deliberations on whom to worship first in the Rajasuya sacrifice. So, you know, these verses, and because today I'm not going to find so much in individual verses to comment on. And therefore, it's a very, very good practice. You know, because of the medium, I'm a little bit hesitant to just read. You know, I have to be so alert to just keep people's attention. But it's a good practice just to hear Shastra with faith, hear that transcendental sound vibration. Practice our listening skills and try to tune our hearts so they resonate with the mind and hearts of the great souls. So this is Narada, who's speaking with devotion about the devotees. And then we get the description of the devotees and how glorious they are. And then we get Sanatana Goswami's purports describing them. So this is all devotion. And if we listen very, very sincerely, we can listen to our heart, and we can listen to the voice in our heart. Voyage on in the Govardhan retreats, an interesting thing. If you want to really judge your spiritual advancement, stop 5, 6, 7 times during the day and ask, what are you desiring now? And you can see if it's spiritual or material. What are you desiring now? Is it some type of service or help for someone, or is it some personal or petty desire? Now, of course, personal desire doesn't have to be petty desire. But the idea of listening to Vaishnava literature, which is generally, as this is, in some type of poetry, is it embodies certain conceptions of thought, and we have to be sensitive to what is being said in what mood, and really try to bring our heart at least an aspiration to that place. And in the yoga of devotion, that's one of our main practices. Prayers, and they should be said really deeply, thinking of their meaning. And not only thinking of their meaning, but thinking of their mood. And not only thinking of their meaning and mood, but contrasting it to the vibration or mood of our own heart. So the twins, Nakula and Sadhu, they've worked together so closely that whatever either of them did could as well have been done by the other. And everything either of them did was impelled by pure love of Krishna. They were only thinking of the pleasure of Krishna. And that's the best sacrifice. The best sacrifice, nayam lokas tiyam disya kuta, there's no happiness in this life or the next without sacrifice. And sacrifice is a way to empower us with the energy of God. And Satchinandana Swami was speaking very, very strongly about spiritual life. What will you sacrifice next? We generally get into a comfort zone and then rationalize that this is where I'm at. And it may be where you're at. But you'll stay there forever unless you get in the consciousness of what I can sacrifice next. I remember Satchinandana was telling me, he was talking to this one person who had some affinity for him, who lived in the Dham for many, many years, kind of like a disciple, and was living in just a small village in Braj with a Brahmin family, and really focused on, you know, thinking about Krishna. But Satchinandana Swami challenged them. Okay, you have such a nice life now. Now what will you sacrifice? Because we need mercy. It's not just going to be about practice or effort alone, and most of us don't have very developed practices anyway. And even if you have a developed practice, it has to be balanced by doing things that evoke mercy. And a lot of times, that entails a sacrifice. So even on this phone, we should all be thinking, what are you going to sacrifice now for God and Krishna and Guru? To empower you to move to the next step. Srijo Padicha Harina Swayameva Raja Suya Jishutsava Varesh Vabishta Kesa Sambodhyate Priyasakit Yabhatatriputra Dushashanari Bayato Ritasarvashoka. Watery, personally sanctified Sri Jyotipati's hair during the Rajasuya sacrifice and other special festivals. Personally sanctified, not sacrificed. He would call Draupadi dear friend he relieved her of fear of Atri son Durvas and fear of others, including Dushasana. He removed all her sorrow. So again, Draupadi is the queen of the Pandavas. And Krishna loves her. Is a very, very dear friend. As the Pandavas are friends, then she also is Krishna's friend in an appropriate way. And because of her relationship with the Pandavas, this is a very, very important point, which we'll get into now, that Krishna is responsive. So he loves not only the devotee, but he loves those in relationship to the devotee. That's why there's the verses, if one becomes a pure devotee, so many generations are liberated. Krishna is just very, very grateful for the service of the devotees. And one is a pure devotee and gives himself to Krishna fully, Krishna reciprocates, and he's the supreme reciprocator. The supreme reciprocator. So why should he not just benedict? Why should he only benedict the devotee he loves, but out of love for that devotee, he'll benedict those in relationship with the devotee. And part of the glory of a person is those in relationship with that person. Part of the glory of a father is his son or daughter. If they're outstanding, it reflects on the father. Part of the glory of a king is the qualities of the citizenship. So in this way, glorifying someone, one way to do it is also to glorify those, the greatness of those in relationship with that person. Of course, it's not absolute. For example, Prabhupada's own children weren't very Krishna conscious. There was a very interesting thing that Krishna had many sons, great family, huge dynasty, and they all killed themselves in a fratricidal war. So when the commentators discuss why they killed themselves in a fratricidal war, very interesting point. And the point that was made in the purport, and I always remember this, is God is interested in sustaining and propagating the principle of pure devotion, which can be compromised by nepotism. Nepotism means that one gets rights just because his father has rights. So to not obscure the principle of pure devotion with the principle of family lineage, Krishna's whole family is destroyed in a fratricidal war. For the same principle, Lord Chaitanya didn't have any issues. And I guess the same way, Prabhupada's sons, they're not qualified. If they were a little qualified, then we might be confused. We might accept them as pure devotees simply on the basis that their father was Srila Prabhupada. And it would obscure the establishment of those who were actually pure. So Draupadi is being glorified. Krishna relished the Duras Parage and organized a celebration of Sri Bhima's passing away. Please, therefore, judge your own standing from in how many controversies both Vidura and Bhishma took your side. So, Krishna's partiality to Vidura and Bhishma. Why? Because they served the Pandavas. Because they gave shelter and affection to the Pandavas as they were young. And because Krishna loved the Pandavas so much, therefore he reciprocated and was eternally indebted to Vidura and Bhishma. And therefore, when Vidura invited Krishna but can only offer the humblest food, some simple shak, Krishna preferred that to the feast of Duryodhana. Because you enjoy offerings when they're done with love. So even though Duryodhana can offer such a feast, there's not love. And the ultimate enjoyment in eating is not gluttony, but love. That it's done to please you, so you taste that affection. And that's where the relish is. And therefore, even Vidura can only offer one simple preparation because it was offered with love, it was so appreciated. And then he talked about Bhishma. That how wonderful the death of Bhishma is. It was organized by Krishna. Krishna was there personally. And that's mercy. It's mercy when Krishna appears to you at the moment of death. And the main way in which Krishna appears to one at the moment of death is that when the devotees are there chanting his holy name. So that's very, very auspicious. And these were Dave's death, the arrangement, and all the great scholars and kings of the world assembled there. So these were Dave's thieves. In full vision of the Lord of his life, Krishna manifests as Paratha Sarathi, the chariot driver. Arjuna, right there when he's dying. Just like Lord Chaitanya, when Haridas Thakur died, he died surrounded by the holy name, looking at Sri Krishna Chaitanya, repeating Sri Krishna Chaitanya. How fortunate is that? When Krishna comes in some way or another, at the most crucial moment of life, which is called death, because death is the junction, and the consciousness at the time of death will determine your next situation. So, how wonderful that is. Truly the words spoken by the ordinary women of your city amaze me. Those words focused on Krishna and imbued with transcendental knowledge and devotion are praised in songs accomplished by poets. Now, the commentary makes it pretty clear what's going on here. Generally speaking, the citizens of a state are virtuous when the rulers are virtuous. As Vasudeva and other sages depict in their epics, everyone in Hastinapur under the administration of Yudhisthira and his brothers was saintly and learned. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the women standing on the roofs of Hastinapur spoke to one another while Krishna was passing on the road. Their first comments sounded like those of profound scholars. So, and then I spoke of Kisavaikilayam Purusha Pranatano Yureka Asid Avishesha Atmani Agre Gunepyo Jagadat Manishvare Yermilatatman Nishasupta Shaktishu. Here he is, the original personality of Godhead as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the, so they glorify him, but then they glorify him steeped in devotion. Aho alam shlagyataman yadokulam, aho alam punyatamam madhuvanam, yadesha pumsam vishabhapriyasya, sajan mana chankramanayna chachati. Oh, how supremely glorious is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the beloved husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken birth and wandered in his childhood. Bhagavatam 110:26. So the point is, since the Pandavas were the leaders of a community in which the ordinary people spoke like this, the Pandavas must have been exceptionally saint. These are the women on the roof speaking in beautiful praises of Krishna's Aishwarya, and then his sweetness and beautiful poetry with exceptional realization. So then how virtuous must be the Pandavas? This is Narada's argument. Okay, we'll read a few more verses. When Prahlad, the son of Prakaidu, obtained the Supreme Lord's grace, he did so along with a grandson. The best of monkeys were favored alone, but you rare souls have received the complete love and mercy of the great Lord Hari with all your family members and subordinates. Nice. At the end it says, either way, everyone associated with the Pandavas obtained the mercy of Sri Krishna, the all-attractive source of all expansion. So how much does Krishna love the Pandavas? So much so that he loves everyone in direct connection with them and benedicts them. And in contrast to all these other people, Krishna shared his mercy with their entire family and entourage. But here he's saying, Hanuman received it alone. Because here's a lifelong brahmachari, had no offspring. And Prahlad, his grandson Bali was the only pure devotee. So look at the Pandavas. Sometimes we see that. You can think of your favorite ISKCON family, especially if they're little grown up. And when you see the parents Krishna conscious, and then what do you think when you see all their children Krishna conscious and their grandchildren Krishna conscious? Then it's a wonderful thing. And you think, oh, they've gotten Krishna's mercy, or they're attracting Krishna's mercy because they, so many people in connection with them are Krishna conscious. I even get a little credit when my cousin-in-law Seva comes. She's a renunciate, at least. She was just here relishing Govardhan, my cousin from the Himalayas, relishing so much the katas and the kirtans, and she's now going to visit Satchinandana Swami in the summer and perhaps teach what she knows, the breathing and relaxation techniques of meditations of the Himalaya Master. So he has a Vedic type university where they try to get a holistic healing from different angles, so that could be one of the Once in the court of the Kauravas, with me and other sages present, Krishna said of you, Yudhisthira, a friend of the Pandavas is my friend and their enemy my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life heirs. Commentary, whatever Krishna says must be absolutely true, especially what he says in the presence of pious sages like Narada. So by making this declaration in such a respectable public forum, Krishna assured that his feelings for the Pandavas would become well known throughout the world. So beautiful. What Krishna says is true, especially when he announces it in the assembly. So these he wants his feelings known. So Krishna loves them so much that he wants his feelings known. Okay, I'm going to end for today. It's 8:20, unless there are any questions. Sometimes here it's a little bit difficult at night, so the brain doesn't work as well. Anybody have any questions to me today?
Maharaj?
Yes?
Maharaj, can you hear me? This is Mother Indrani.
Oh, just to hear your voice is so soothing.
I thank you, and I need your prayers. I am in Washington, D.C. My oldest daughter, Jeanette, left her body last night.
She had
metastasized cancer.
Oh, that your daughter, huh?
Yes, Jeanette. So I plead the prayers of all the Vaishnavs for her soul.
We'll all pray for her soul, and I'm here in Vrindavan, and we'll certainly all pray, and I request all the devotees to offer a prayer for, that's your oldest daughter?
My oldest daughter, Jeanette, 59 years old.
59 years old.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we really, our hearts go out to you, Mother Indrani.
Thank you.
We'll certainly pray for the soul of your daughter, but our confidence after reading this type of chapter is
yes,
because you have dedicated your life to Guru and Krishna. Certainly, Guru and Krishna will not forget your daughter.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. And my realization, Maharaj, this holy name, it is powerful, it is strengthening, it is comforting. From the time I've been here over a week, I've been chanting to her every morning, all day. And it's given me the strength to go through watching her go down and drift away. The holy name, Maharaj, it's powerful.
Wow. Thank you. You just chanted to her the whole time?
The whole time. Every morning I went in her room and I sat by her bed and I chanted and chanted. And every chance I was in there, I was chanting.
Well, what a blessing it's so to have a mother that performs that for her.
Yes.
Wow.
And when she left last night, I just chanted and chanted. I felt the name would help that soul go where it had to go. Oh, the holy name. It's so powerful.
My God. Thank
you, Maharaj. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your prayers. Thank all the Vaishnavas.
Well, thank you for sharing that wonderful realization of the power of the holy name.
Yes.
Sure, because of the emotion and sincerity in which you were chanting, that's not an ordinary thing. So she's actually a very special soul.
Oh.
A very special soul. There's no doubt she's a special soul.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Wow. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thank you, and keep up your good works, too. Krishna bless you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow.
Hare Krishna.
Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Wow. I don't know if, wow, isn't that wonderful just to see the power of the holy name and the sincere devotees who carry the holy name and how Krishna does make arrangements for those whom we love. That's great. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna or say hello or make a comment?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Mahadana Dasi.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Yes, I'm a friend of Jesus from Connecticut.
Yeah, no, I remember you came to Puri with me a couple of years ago. I immediately recognized your voice. And
oh, Jai, thank you so much, and please accept my humble obeisances.
Yeah, I know, I remember you, of course.
I've been enjoying your classes so much.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
They're a great source of inspiration for me.
Well, it's really nice to get some feedback, you know, now, because I get a general picture of who's on, and to just know that you're also listening is great. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, great. Wow, it's just so nice when people open their hearts. It's great. In one sense, you could say, isn't that what it's all about? Because bhakti is a process of the heart. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? It would be nice to hear from other people.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, Hare Krishna.
I was very moved by hearing Mother Indrani. What a blessing to hear her voice and hear her story.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it an inspiration?
Indeed.
Wow. Wow. It's yeah, it's so nice. Henry, I'm also going to be writing you soon because I just got a letter from Debbie Norris, who... from the Mindfulness Center in Bethesda, Maryland. You remember?
Right.
So she's given me some dates where she'd like me to come there and be the speaker. So I'll mail this to you and we'll try to coordinate something.
Oh, good. Well, I'm excited to get our plans going for next year, Maharaj, so I'll be anxiously awaiting that email.
Okay. I'll probably do tomorrow. Today I went out all day because I went to this wedding, and it was nice. I saw so many old students and so many people I knew, and but it took me away from my desk. Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lalita Madhava, also from Washington.
Oh, Hare Bo. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
It's really... Washington is such a hub. We have Mother Indrani is there right now, actually. Taking out. And, great. I should be going to work out the dates with Henry, and then I'll let you know.
Oh, it would be nice. Nice to see you here.
Coming there. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Vegavati.
Hare Krishna. It's all connected, right?
I mean, yeah.
This, I mean, you lived in Gitanagar with Mother Indrani.
Right. And actually last night, because it was Gita Jayanti, the community, there were a couple dozen people, including lots of children, we read the whole Bhagavad Gita in English. And Chintamani mentioned to me about Mother Indrani's daughter being in the final stages, so we were definitely thinking of her and offering the Gita reading.
On Gita Jayanti with her mother chanting to her immensely. That's pretty auspicious.
Yeah. It's still painful, but...
It's kind of painful, yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello today? Well, I just got an email from Rutte, and it's hard to believe, but over 900 people are downloading these classes. So the previous amount was like the top was 400. So, I don't know. I'm not speaking to a few people here, but I know a lot of people are listening to them. So the audience here, besides hearing, is the opportunity for others to hear, because I can't speak unless I have a live audience. So anyway, Senator Dobbin, and it's nice to hear the wind, of course, and beautiful seeing those Radha Shyam Sundar deities. And it's so important to actually work and see the deity. And Raghunuga Bhakti, the way that inspiration comes to Sri Krishna is by hearing Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, and worshipping the deity. So reading that Madhurya Kandambani, I definitely make a point every day to go down there and do that. Okay, well, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Shastra Das.
Okay, Shastra Haribo. I saw Madhavananda, so I look pretty set now for Puri.
Hi.
Somehow I got a feeling there's a lot of people there, because if people find out, you know, how nice it is. So, not that we have to take care of so many people, but a lot of people will be coming at that time. I got a feeling it'll be a nice crowd. We'll have a nice time. And Akinchana Krishna is coming now, which is great. And Nityananda is lined up for coming. It's great. So we got our superb Kirtaneers, too. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, well, then we'll let you open the